In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is great power, there is great energy in gratitude. That is especially what this gospel is teaching us today, the healing of the 10 lepers. We must remember this. We must inculcate this into our lives. We must live as people with gratitude. If we do not, then we will not have the energy that we need to live righteously. Gratitude is a fundamental part of the Christian life. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's do a little bit of the preamble, because it's very instructive that those who were not thankful, the 9 lepers, they were not completely without any piety. They did things correctly. They did things according to the rule, according to the law. But they were not made whole. Because if you look carefully in this story, as well as others in the gospel, there were 2 healings. One was a physical one, and then the other was to be made whole, a spiritual one. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came and became incarnate. To make us whole, not just to forgive us, but to make us whole, to make us able to be righteous and to know Him and to know spiritual things and have spiritual knowledge and joy. This is only possible if we are made whole. That must mean that we're not whole now. That must mean that there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed. In this gospel, what was wrong with that one leper was fixed, and the other 9 went unhealed. They had their leprosy cleansed, but they were not made whole. So he enters into a certain village, and there's 10 men who meet him afar off. They were cast-offs. They were considered unclean. They were unclean physically. They were unclean spiritually. Nobody could get near them. Nobody understood about the transmission of Hansen's disease, which is leprosy. It's from a bacteria. And so people were afraid of them, didn't want to touch them. And this was even required in the Jewish law, not to touch a leper, or else you would be considered unclean and you'd have to go through ritual washings. So people treated them terribly. They were probably hungry. Probably people did things like throw things at them and jeer them. They were outcasts of society. And one of them was even an outcast among outcasts because he was a Samaritan. And a Samaritan was basically the Jewish heretic of the day. And so they were considered to be worse than dogs. And they lift up their voices and they say something that is a model for the Jesus Prayer. This is why we say the Jesus Prayer. Because there's an example given to it, about it, I think at least 3 times in the scriptures. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Very simple. They don't say, cure our leprosy, relieve us of our discomforts, end our banishment. They just say, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And this is a model for us. The blind man also said something like it as well. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So get in the habit of saying this prayer. Very important. But you also must then be aware of the results of this prayer. And only one of the lepers was. So he sees them. Jesus sees the lepers. He doesn't say anything to them like, oh, God help you. Or I'm so sorry that you're feeling such pain, such agony. I will heal you. He doesn't say that. All he says is, go show yourselves to the priests. And the evangelist is very clear. As it came to pass, they went and were cleansed. In other words, they were not cleansed when he told them to go to the priest. There is no reason for a leper to go to the priest unless he is cleansed of leprosy. There's a very long, intricate, difficult to understand and follow list of instructions for a leper who is cleansed. There's lots of ritual washings that have to be done, etc. I don't remember. I think it's in Leviticus. And so they were going to the priest, but weren't cleansed. But they went because of obedience and because of faith. And their activity brought them towards the priests, and they were cleansed on the way. So all 10 of them should be praised for their faith, for their obedience. Much like the blind man. Remember the blind man when the Lord said, go wash in the pool of Siloam? He didn't say that he'd be healed. He said, go wash. And he goes, washes, and he has to stumble to the pool, and then he's healed. So they had great obedience, great faith. They did what they were told. This is all very much to the good. But when they were healed, only one of them had gratitude. Only one of them went back to the Lord and fell down at his feet and worshiped him with tears of joy. The other 9, they fulfilled their orders. They went to the priest. The priest verified that they were freed of leprosy and did the prescribed ablutions. And then they were considered part of the community again. But the outcast, the Samaritan, he went to the high priest and he showed his gratitude. We must do this also, brothers and sisters. There is power in gratitude. There is energy in it. This one was healed. The Lord said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. If you have problems in your life, you can look for the causes. You should be a pretty good detective for them. And certainly, when we have things like uncertainties and depression and despondency and confusion, that's almost always related to our sins, to our passions. Because sin also always confuses and makes things muddled up. But also, if we do not have gratitude in our life for the Lord visiting us, being within us, giving us his holy body and blood, redeeming us, if we do not have active gratitude for the Lord being who he is, then we will continue to have problems in our life. When people are irritated, when people are dissatisfied, that seems to be an affliction of modern life, dissatisfaction. Most people are dissatisfied in some way. When we're dissatisfied, don't like the way things are going, don't like our job, don't like our income, don't like the fact that healthcare costs so much, etc., 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 that's not gratitude. The man who's thankful to God, he's not dissatisfied. Oh, he might suffer with low income or with difficulties in life, but he's not dissatisfied. He doesn't grumble. There's power and there's healing available to him because of his gratitude. You must cultivate this. Now, I must confess to you, this is not a thing that I do easily in terms of actually calling to mind thanking God. It's just part of my weak nature. I'm very focused on many, many things. And there's a lot of difficult things that I encounter in my life. So I have a sort of like, I've got to get this done. I've got to pray. I've got to help this person. I've got to visit this person and all the rest. And when I sit back, metaphorically, of course, when I sit back and thank the Lord for that he has brought me to him, things are better. It's really an amazing thing to me. I mean, I grew up a kid in a semi-religious home. God was not really particularly important. He was just sort of, you know, around like he is around in other homes. And somehow, by his great grace, he brought me to the church. I still don't understand why. Now, I know the history, but I don't know why. I don't know why somehow my mind was opened to understand where the church is. I don't understand that. And I'm very thankful that that happened. So should you be. Whether you were born in and baptized as a baby or whether you came to the church as an adult, this should be the thing that you are most thankful for. Now there are practical things that you can do to increase your gratitude. And you must do this, because if there is weakness in your life, if there is dissatisfaction, if there is anxiety, if there's depression, despondency, if there is constant sin or recurring sin, if there's a feeling of being out of place, out of sorts, all those sorts of things, that probably describes just about everybody in this room, one or more of those things, then you must cultivate in your heart more gratitude to God. The gratitude will energize you. God, seeing your gratitude, will make you more whole. Now, how do we do this? Well, you cannot have gratitude and thankfulness to God if you think of yourself. It's just not possible. So if you are thinking in a self-centered way, then there won't be gratitude in your life. Oh, you might say thank you sometimes, but there won't be this deep sense of thankfulness that motivates you and energizes you. So think of others, not of yourself. It is really a modern affliction that we're all, to some extent, narcissists. God forgive us for this. We think of ourselves more than we think of others. Our ego is so important. Our place, how people think of us, the things that we own, the things that we achieve. We should think of others and of their needs first, especially the ones that when you help them can't do anything for you or even act in a way that's damaging to you. When you think of others and not of yourself, God will enlarge your heart and make it large enough to contain Him. And then there will be gratitude, and there will be knowledge, and there will be peace, and there will be God abiding in you. So think of others, not of yourself. In practical ways, pray for others. If you are not every day on a regular basis praying for those in your family, those of your acquaintances, those in your office, those that you see every day, the person that you see at the bus stop, the person who begs alms, the homeless guy that you see on a regular basis, whoever it is, if you're not regularly praying for them daily, then you are missing great grace in your life. Because in praying for them, God will basically be treating you like this 10th leper. And He will say, go your way, your faith has made you whole. So make sure to remember to pray for others. And be practical about it. We got all this technology. I got all your names on my phone. So sometimes when I'm going down the highway, going to jail, I'm reading your names. Perhaps I shouldn't admit that, but, you know, I do it. And your names are always there. Now, they're printed out, too. Most of the time, I read them off my phone because they're always there. I can change them, write them out, put them on note cards or on in a notebook or electronically and have them always with you. And make sure to pray for people every day without fail. And this will help change your heart. It'll take that coal and it'll make it become alive with fire. But it takes a lot of work to get something cold hot. So you must do this on a daily basis. And also, what we heard in the epistle, the end of the epistle, applies to learning to have gratitude in your life. The apostle speaking, you know, with the inspiration of the Lord, of course, was saying, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, that's what you should be doing here and at home. You should be reading the Gospels and reading the Psalter especially. You'll learn how to thank God if you read the Gospel with great attention, with a fervency, with a desire to dig in and find something that you need that God will feed you with. And the same thing with the Psalter. And all the scriptures, but especially those two. So if you're not reading the gospel and or the Psalter every day, you're also missing great grace in your life. Some of us are blessed with a personality that is naturally inclined to be thankful. Now, I don't have a personality that is like that. I have a personality where I have to kind of cultivate it, because I see sometimes, unfortunately, the glass half empty more than I see it half full. And that's just a personality trait that I'd wish I didn't have and that I'm learning not to have, and it is getting better now because of these kinds of things. Perhaps you have a personality that easily just is thankful for everything. That's good. But don't just think that you're thankful if you say, oh, thank you, Lord, that it's a beautiful day outside. The Lord is abiding within you. That's what we should be most thankful for. We are becoming holy, stepwise. That's what you should be thankful for. And that thankfulness, paradoxically, not to a Christian, but to the world, that thankfulness also should make you sad. And that sadness should be that other people don't have this. And then you will reach out to others, both in prayer and in your works. And in reaching out to others, God will say, your faith has made you whole. And you will become more able then to have God within your heart, and then more able to reach out to others. And it constantly increases. It is critical to think of others, or else you will not learn to have gratitude to God. There were two healings today. Only one of them was permanent. Healing from leprosy was a temporary healing, because eventually that flesh that had become clean was going to rot and corrupt in the grave. But the healing of the tenth man, the Samaritan, that was permanent. He was made whole by Christ. Remember that healing. Remember that that is occurring in your life right now. And cultivate thankfulness to God by your prayer and by your activity. And God will help you in all things. Amen.